Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed Word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
Amen. There has been some times on the treadmill that I wanted to give up. Can I get a witness in the house? I want to get to that 2 mile marker, and I want to keep on moving, and I want to keep on going, and I'm giving it all I got. And I have a goal, and I have an agenda, but I'm not there going to stop short, because men were made for endurance. A cheetah can run fast, but it can't run fast for a long period of time. But a man can do 5Ks and 10Ks and 25Ks and keep on running because God made you to endure. Aren't you thankful the scripture says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Come on, I'm not just blowing smoke up here. I'm trying to help somebody that it's not time to give up. It's not time to throw in the towel. You were made for endurance. You can endure until the end, and the same shall. The race is not to the swift. Come on, I don't want to run fast for a short period of time, but I want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hey, but I want you to throw your hands in the air. I want you to call on the only saving name of Jesus, that the will of God and the purpose of God would be done in this house on this Sunday morning. I give you praise, God. I give you worship, Lord. I bless your holy name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for it, God. I thank you for it, God. I bless your holy name. I bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Such a treat to be with you. God bless Brother Borders and his wife and family and their boys. So thankful for what God is doing in the Border family abroad. Amen. Amen. Pastor and advance or missionary, what a tremendous family that they are, and give them honor and so thankful. Aren't you thankful for the ministry that God has given to you, amen, as a pastor, as a gift? Amen. That was a little bit weak. Aren't you thankful for a man of God? Amen. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated briefly. I'm so thankful that my family's here. My wife, Adele, you know, there was an Adele in my life before the singer Adele was ever popular. Amen. So I'm thankful for my wife, Adele, and we've been married. Seems like, amen, time flies so fast, doesn't it? Amen. I got married at 20. I'll be 43 in November. And so we've been married right at 22 years. And so I'm thankful for her. Give her honor. And y'all never had teenagers. Aren't they such a blessing? Amen. He wants a double prayer. Praise God. Amen. So thankful, amen, for them and God's handles on their life. And thankful the blessings of the Lord. It has been almost 10 years since I preached in this church. The last time I preached here, Callista Robidoux received the Holy Ghost right over here. Amen. In a revival service. And so it's been a few years. I'm probably looks a little older and less hair and probably more plump or round is a, I guess round is a good way to put it. Amen. So I'm honored to be back 10 years later and looking forward to what the Holy Ghost is going to do in this house. Amen. I want God to bless. I want God to pour his spirit out in a tremendous way. And I want nothing less but God's will. Amen. Don't you? Amen. I want the will of the Lord to be done. Brother and Sister Fuller, Elder Fuller, so thankful for you. I bless you in the name of the Lord. I'm so thankful to know you, your tremendous people, and your family. Amen. I'm so thankful very much for you. Amen. Praise God. And I'm such honored and blessed to be with you. What a sweet spirit that you have, and you're such a blessing to the kingdom of God. And I love you. I feel like I want to tell you that. You need to hear that. You're a blessing to the kingdom of God. Amen. I've never heard one negative thing about you, ever. That's pretty good. If you're a preacher and nobody's saying nothing negative, that's a pretty good compliment. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm so glad you look better than I do. Amen. Would you stand with me for the reading of the word of the Lord? Take you the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 21. I want to read four verses of scripture and then we will bounce or go over to Mark. Genesis chapter number 21, verse number 8. We'll read down to verse 12, Genesis chapter. And I'll make a deal with you. If you'll help me preach, I'll preach shorter than I normally would if you don't help me. That was your chance to say amen. Yeah, that's helping me right there. Praise God. I will be mindful of your time and try not to preach too long. But if you'll wear me out, I'll shut down quicker. So that's all up to you. Amen. I have been back to exercise, and I ruptured my Achilles back in the summer. And it's a crazy deal. Just don't get old and try to play basketball with teenagers at a youth camp. I guess that's the solution. Amen. But I have been back exercising, and so I've got my energy back. And so that could be bad for you. I don't know. We'll just see what happens. Amen. Genesis chapter 21, amen, verse number 8. The Bible said, and the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah, the son of Agar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, she saw the son of Agar, rather, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. And I think for the context of what I'm going to preach today, we all could agree that Ishmael was the result of a mother and father that had a promise that got tired of waiting on God's timing, and they did it their own way. Could we agree with that? So could it be said that I could say it this way? Ishmael was a mistake of them not waiting on God's timing for the promised son that in Isaac that God would give. Can I say it? Is it okay if I say it that way? So Ishmael was the result of God giving a promise to a couple that you're going to have a son. But the son did not come the way they wanted it to come, and they got tired of waiting on the promises of God. And so they did it their own way, and from their own agenda and their own purpose or their own plan, Ishmael, the son of the bondwoman, is born. And so Sarah saw this mistake. She saw this thing that she allowed Agar to birth and allow Abram to go into the bondwoman. And she saw this Ishmael mocking the promise that was in Isaac and who Isaac was. And something came on her. Something got a hold to her. And the Bible says in verse 10, wherefore, or because of this, because of what she saw Ishmael do to her promised son Isaac. She seen this. She experienced this. She said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. Get this young man and this mama out of here, because I will not allow my mistake to coexist with my miracle. And I want to kick this mistake out of here, because he is not going to make fun of or tear down or hinder, because my promise did come. I feel a little Holy Ghost helping us right now. My promise did eventually come, and I eventually was able to hold my promise, but I'm not going to tolerate my mistake mocking and making fun of my promise. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. And so she kicked him out. Then verse 11, and this thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Mark chapter number 16, Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 17, Mark chapter 16 and verse number 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. in my name, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, one man said accidentally, praise God. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick. What does it say? And they shall recover. Amen. I want to preach to you for the help of the Holy Ghost for this subject, what mocks your miracle? What mocks your miracle? Amen. Would you put your Bibles down? And would you ask the Lord that He would put words? I haven't been here 10 years. I don't know anything about anybody in this building other than I know a few preachers in this house. So if I say something today that ministers to you, you need to know that this man has not said anything to me whatsoever about anybody in this building. I want to be very clear today that if the Holy Ghost puts words in my mouth to speak directly to your situation, it will never be today anything what He said to me about you. You need to know it'll be a work of the Holy Ghost. And you've got to get your walls down and you got to open up and let me minister to you, because we can't get where we need to go in the Holy Ghost unless you join hands with me and we get the will of God done here today. So with that in mind, I want you to throw your hands in the air and I want you to say, Jesus, I want you to put words in that man of God's mouth. Come on, put words in that preacher's mouth to speak directly to my situation, to speak directly to my need. God, use him for your glory to get your will done in my life and in my family, God. Jesus, I humble myself before you. I ask, Lord, that you'd put words in my mouth. God, I pray that there'd be a breakthrough on this Sunday morning. I pray that you'd pour out the Holy Ghost. I pray that you'd minister. Let there be miracles and signs and wonders. I take authority and dominion over every spirit, whether human or demonic, that would hinder or oppose or try to stymie the move of the will of God in this house. I declare today victory. I pray that there'd be an anointing that would break every yoke of bondage and of sin. Loose this house. Liberate, God. Let not the spirit of Norman, God, be in this place that would try to inhibit the plan and the purpose of God. I take authority over the spirit world. I declare there be a rushing mighty wind. I declare there be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, that the word of God would have free course. I pray that there be an open door of utterance to speak and boldly proclaim the will. I feel a shift in the Holy Ghost right there. Somebody lift your hands and worship. Somebody lift your hands and worship in this house. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be your name, God. Would you clap your hands just to make the devil mad and just to give God some praise one more time? Would you clap your hands and shout unto God with the voice of triumph? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you'll help me, you may be seated. In Jesus' name. I want to identify that thought and that spirit that has lied to you and told you that God no longer does notable miracles. That thing that has lied to you. That thing that has over and over again told you it's never going to change. It's never going to get better. It's always going to be the way that it is. It is what it is. It's always going to stay in that monotonous cycle of reality that this is the way it's always going to look like. And your sickness and your disease and your struggle and the church and families and circumstances, that lying spirit that has tried to convince you that no longer can God do exceeding abundant above all that you could ever ask or think. I want to arise to this sacred desk on this Sunday morning, and I want to declare to this apostolic worship center that every thought that's coming into your mind that's telling you that God can't do it in Norman, and God can't do it on your pew, and God can't do it in this city, and God can't do it in this county, and God can't do it down this street, I'm going to preach to that spirit. I'm going to preach to that spirit today. I'm going to identify that thing. You need to know what you're bumping up against. You need to know what you're dealing with. My God, help me right now. You need to know what's been talking to you. You need to know what you've been dealing with. Can I tell you, don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You're not fight. My fight's not you on the Kalabos. My fight's not with you on the third row or the eighth row or in the sound booth. I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood, but it's principalities and powers. It's the rulers of the darkness. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to tell the spirit of Norman, you're not going to control this church. I want to tell the spirit world, you have no authority to rule or to reign or to shut down or hinder the will and the purpose of God. I got four or five of you with me. I want to serve notice to that spirit that's lied to you. It said you're stuck. It says you can't get out. It says you can't be removed. I want to tell you that greater is He that's in you. I want to tell you, I haven't come with some pretty sermon all mapped out to try to improve impress you, but I do want the devil to know we are fed up. We are at wit's end. We are no longer going to let you wreck our family and wreck. We ain't letting you wreck this thing. We're not letting you tear down this thing. We're not letting you inhibit this thing. We're not letting you wreck and tear about. Hey, what God has built, man cannot tear down. What God, it'll be tried by fire. But when it's been built on a rock, when it's been built on a rock, it's a sure foundation. That spirit, it's ugly, it's nasty, it looks down at you, it tries to intimidate you, it tries to shut you down. It don't want you saying stuff like this: God's about to change it, God's about to fix it, God's about to turn it around, God's about to alter it, God's about to heal it, God's about to help it. It wants to, you know what it's trying to do? It's trying to just chill out. Just call. As long as you stay in your box, everything's fine. But when you step out in faith, that spirit, it's unbelief. That's what it is. It's the spirit of unbelief. It's the spirit. It's the stronghold of Oklahoma. It's trying to come on. You got a college town here. You got all kinds of people coming in and out of here. Some of the darkest places in the metro or on that OU campus. There is a spirit of unbelief that's trying to pervade into the church. Well, you can't have breakthrough. You can't have a move of God. You've made too many mistakes. You've done too many things wrong. You've mishandled or you misappropriated. You should have had faith and you doubted God. The devil is a lie. There needs to be something that gets on the inside of you that arises and say, devil, I'm not bowing. God, I feel like running. I'm not bowing to that spirit of unbelief. He's done too much for me. I cannot tell it all. Oh, somebody throw your hands in the air and say, Jesus, I know you're able today. Why are you still going to that apostolic church? Why are you still showing up? You know you haven't seen what you want to see. Why do you think you're so special? You've made so many mistakes. And you still think that you're going to get the promise that God said was yours. Yes, sir, I do. Yes, sir, I do. It's time we start talking back. We need a teenage persona about us that we just, you know how teenagers keep talking back. We need that of the Spirit. We need that talk back in us. And we start saying, life and death is in the power of our tongue. And we start saying, devil, I'm going to act like a teenager right now, but I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to get the last word and the last word in, and I'm not bowing to your nonsense and to your lies. Because devil, if you're opening your mouth, you're lying, because you're the father of all lies. Well, you've made too many mistakes. And you've made too many mistakes. And you show me somebody in this section that's never made a mistake. Surely, Sister Fuller, you're probably the closest thing into here to perfection. But surely somewhere, Brother Fuller, you're so sweet because she's so sweet. Surely somewhere you made a mistake somewhere. But aren't you thankful that even though we're not perfect, a perfect God still has the power and the authority and the ability. He paid the price. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. There ain't nobody perfect. If you was perfect, I wish you would come preach right now. If you've never made a mistake, I wish you would have the microphone right now. But the fact is, nobody's perfect. And the fact is, we get tired of waiting on the promises of God. And God said we could have the Isaac, and we haven't been holding the Isaac. And so instead, we do it our own way. But I want to tell somebody that the birth of an Isaac will never inhibit the birth of an Ishmael, rather, will never hinder the birth of an Isaac. Your mistake will not hinder the promise. But if you'll kick your mistake out, if you'll repent of your sins, if you'll lay some things down, if you'll tell the devil, hey, my mistake is not going to inhibit my miracle. My mistake is not going to hinder my promise. I'm going to have that baby. I'm going to feed that baby. I wish somebody just give the Lord a wave offering of praise. I wish somebody magnify the Lord. Woo! The miracle was not predicated, Brother Borders, on the actions of a Sarah and an Abram. The miracle was wrapped up in the word of God, because God said, I'm going to give you a baby. Can I tell you how she knew how to take care of the promise in Isaac? Is because for years she had taken care of a mistake. She knew how to feed that promise. When that second child come along, everything that she learned in the first child and the first experience, how she fed that baby and gave that baby a bath and wiped its mouth and changed its diapers. When that promise come, she was better equipped. She was better. She had more
understanding. She was already a mother. This was not her first experience. It was not her first baby. Can I tell you, the things that you go through can prepare you for the promise that God. I know you made the mistake. I know it was your fault, but I want to tell you, you're going to still have that promise despite your mistake. But you can't let your mistake, you can't let unbelief mock your miracle. Somebody say yes.
Can you imagine her? Can you imagine her in that moment when she hears the words out of Ishmael? Mocking. I don't know what Ishmael was saying to Isaac. Maybe he was saying, hey, Isaac, you don't get it. I'm the firstborn, and I'm better looking than you, and you don't belong here. And I'm the one that Abram went into my mama. Hey, we don't have the same mamas, but we have the same daddy, and I'm better than you. I don't know what he was saying. It's all hypothetical. I don't know what Ishmael was saying to Isaac, but something came on Sarah that's got to get on us, that we refuse to allow a mistake in our past. We refuse to allow a sin. We refuse to allow a wrong turn. We got in the flesh. That's what they did. They got in the flesh and they messed up. But when it come time, when that mistake started being louder than her promise, when that mistake started talking back and started downplaying the promise, something came on Sarah, sir. And when it came on her, she said, you know what? You got to get this mistake out of here. You got to get this woman. It's got to go, because my miracle is not going to be fed at the same table as my mistake. My mistake is not going to be clothed with the same clothes. Hey, what I clothed Ishmael with, I'm not going to put on my Isaac, because that's my promise, son. It's my promise, boy.
I was at a service. The power of God started moving and flowing in the house. And there was a precious lady there. Her name was Sister June. She was about 4 foot tall. And in that service, I didn't know, but Sister June's legs were crooked just like this. Now, mind you, she had made some mistakes. But the power of God got to move it in that church. Nobody laid hands on her. Nobody prayed for her. But I watched in that service as she would look down at her feet, lift her hands and cry and shake under the power of God. I had no idea that in that service, the power of God had hit Sister June, and her crooked feet were made straight under the power of God. I want to tell somebody in this house, Jesus is still a healer. Jesus is still a healer. There's nothing too hard for him. Quit letting your mistakes be bigger and your mistakes be stronger. You got to feed your promise. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. You've got to speak it out of your mouth.
I was at a service 2 weeks ago at Texas District Singles Conference. They brought a man at the altar. He come up to me. He could not see in his right eye. He's looking around. He said, I've got some kind of glaucoma or cataracts that has hazed over and covered my entire eye. He said, I cannot see at all. And so we got the group of people. We anointed him with oil. All I did, Brother Jones, I put my hand on his right eye and I said, Jesus, I want you to heal this man. He was in his 60s. He was there at a singles conference. Can I tell you, your marital status cannot hinder you from getting a miracle. You may have been through divorce in the last 6 months or a year, and you got tragedy and your family's divided, but I want to tell you, he's concerned about you. In the middle of your mistakes, God can still provide a miracle today. Man lifted his hands. We pray. And then he told me, he opened his eyes and started looking around. And he said, I can see, I can see. He said, it felt like a waterfall. He said, it felt like a waterfall come out of his eye. That's in America at a singles conference a couple of weeks ago. Can I tell you, quit letting your mistake mock. Quit letting your mistake mock your miracle.
I get, well, Brother Burns, I wasn't there to see it. That's the spirit of unbelief in your life.
I didn't see it with my own eyes. Can you believe God to do something even though you haven't seen it? That's called faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's by faith the elders obtained a good report. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Abram. By faith, Moses. By faith, there's some things by faith, and there's some things through faith. There's some things you just trust.
A couple weeks ago, everybody okay? I got so much stuff stirred up right now. Everybody all right?
Because I'm trying to convince you. Get the mistakes out of your life. Quit feeding your mistake. It's time for this church to hold on to your baby. It's time for this church to get the pacifier out and the bottle out and put it in the mouth of your promise. Your promise does not need to be starved. Your mistake needs to be starved, and your promise needs to be fed. Somebody has got to believe the man of God's vision. Somebody has got to say, revival's still here. I'm not quitting because I'm tired. It's been 25 years. It's been 25 years, Abram.
Yeah, I know. But God's going to return.
I feel a prophetic word for this church. God's going to restore to you back your life. You feel like life has been sucked out of here. But God, what God did for Sarah, God wants to do for this church. He wants to return your restore life back to it. He wants to open the womb of a Sarah that a baby can be born. A promise can be birthed again.
Somebody lift your hands and say, yes, Lord, I believe it. 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 I know you can. I know you will. And I want to tell some precious elder, you're just as important in this thing as the 18-year-old, the 25-year-old. I want to tell somebody, you've been in this church for 20-plus years or maybe 30. You're just as critical. Your prayer and your mouth and what you say, how you build up and how you lift up, or some old prayer warriors need to come back alive again. Come on. I know there's a spirit of intimidation that tries to hinder you in your worship services. You don't feel like you belong here or fit here. You feel intimidated. You don't want to step out on the aisle and start worshiping God. That spirit's lying to you, because the devil knows if the pillars start moving, the house is about to come down. The devil knows if the people start saying, man, I'm tired of being in my box. I'm tired of doing it. I'm tired of being here. I would to God. And sometimes an elder says, you know what? I'm going to get out here a little bit, and I'm going to shake something up. I'm going to do something in the house, because I hear the cry of an Isaac. I hear the cry of a baby. I wonder what happened if some elders say, you know what, I'm tired of sitting in the same spot doing the same thing service after service, but God, I got that old time religion, I got that old Holy Ghost, it's on the inside of me, and it's working, and it's coming out, and all of a sudden you start saying, yeah, it's just Sunday morning, but I'm believing for a miracle. It's just Sunday morning, but I'm believing for a promise. I've been here for 20 years, but you ain't seen nothing yet. I've been here in the middle of it all, but there's a promise coming down my dusty road. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to stir up the gift of God that's in you. It's in you. You got to let it out. You got to let it out. You may feel like you can't do much, but when you do stuff like this, whoa, it can change the atmosphere. A couple weeks ago, man, I had a lot of back pain. My back was killing me. Man, it was low back pain. I could hardly set up and get down. It was terrible. And Brother Dabbs had just got back from Taipei, and He got in on Tuesday. I was at church on Wednesday night, and I was there. I reached over in the service. Now, my wife thinks I'm perfect, but I made a lot of mistakes. Please don't tell her that. Oh, she's here. My bad. Some of you's laughing. You're like, yeah, buddy, we know. But I was in that service, and I felt faith. I said, Brother Dabbs, I said, will you pray for me? Man, my back is killing me. I can't. Brother Borders, it hurt so bad. Man, it was killing me. I was getting up, getting down. He said, okay, let me pray for you. He set me down the second row on the platform at Calvary, my home church. He set me all the way back up against the seat. He pulls my legs out in front of me. He said, your left leg is shorter, like an inch shorter than your right leg. It's like, great observation, Dr. Dabbs. Praise God. He told Brother Joe Hadaway, he said, come here, bro, I want you to witness this. Whether you ever see it or not, doesn't mean that God hasn't done it and doesn't mean that God will not do it. God can do things in this church that you've never seen happen before. Since you've trusted God for years for something and it's never come to pass, and I want you to know, you got to tell those mistakes of your past, you will no longer coexist with my miracle, because my baby that God said I could have, and whatever that is, I don't know if it's a physical baby or spiritual baby or what it is or wherever it's at, but I believe God that in the middle of all the confusion that God can still do it for you. And there's an old promise or an old prophecy somewhere in your past, and your mistakes is hanging over it, but you got to cut them loose. I can't do it. I can't. Sarah had to tell it to get out. You got to speak to it. Ishmael, get out. Ishmael, get out. Because you're not staying here with my promise. Because my promise is greater. And my promise is from the Lord. It's a divine, supernatural thing. Somebody, you believe that with her? Would you release your faith and say, yes, God, I believe that you're able, God. Woo! Come on, just for a moment longer, would you lift your voice to the Lord? Would you give him high praise?
Oh. Hallelujah. Lift your voice right now with me. Come on, let out of your bellies flow rivers of living water right now. Brother Dabbs, he reached down. He said, God, I command this leg to grow. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, Jesus, you're going to do this. I have back pain, but isn't it amazing how one problem creates another problem? Can I tell you what God wants to do? He wants to heal the root of it, not just the facade of it, or not just the plant of it. He wants to heal that thing below that you can't see, because there's one problem caused another problem. And what you think, somebody hear me in the Holy Ghost right now, what's going on in your family is not the reality. There's a root somewhere you can't see. And God wants to heal the root, because if what below is healthy, what above will be healthy. And how you handle the root system and what the root system has and how it's wired and how it's cared for can change the dynamic whether the plant is healthy or not. And what you see is not the reality, and what you think it is could not be. It may be not the true case, because there's something going on. It's the root of the issue. It's the heart of the issue.
And if you're not careful, you'll start looking at all the things that are surrounding it. But you've got to ask the Holy Ghost to reveal the truth. We need the truth to come to the surface. A prayer that I pray is this: God, boil the truth to the surface. Whatever's in the pot, I want the truth. I don't want the things that are deceptive. I don't want the things that are lies. I don't want the false truths. I want the truth to be boiled, because I want to look in that pot and say, that's what's going on. And I want to take that out of the pot. That is the ingredient that is causing the pot to be poisoned. That's the ingredient that's causing the pot to bring death. I want to get it out.
I want to get it out. So he reached down and prayed. God, I command this leg to grow. And I'm praying. I'm sweating. I'm talking in tongues. And I start feeling my left leg grow. This is just a couple weeks ago. You ain't got to believe it if you don't want to. But as you can tell from my preaching, my back's not hurting. As he prayed, my left leg evened out where it's level. I can sit down. I can show you. I can prove it that my left leg is the same as my right leg. Look, it's as even as can be. It wasn't like that when he prayed for me and he verified and God did that miracle for me. I made some mistakes, but I've seen the miraculous provision of God in my life. I can walk around with the testimony of an Isaac, and I can say, look what the Lord did for me. Not just for somebody else, but what God did for me.
So a week later, I was preaching in Arkansas, and the Fullers have great friends there, the Whittingtons. Brother and Sister Whittington, Bishop Whittington, pastor of that church in Little Rock. They used to go to church with y'all back in Dewar, if I'm not mistaken. Used to help Brother Deal years ago. Brother and Sister Whittington, sweet couple. And Sister Whittington, she come up to me in a service a couple weeks ago on a Tuesday night. It wasn't even a planned service. It was an off-night deal. I was supposed to be somewhere else. And Brother Ison, the pastor, he said, okay, let's just move our midweek. See, there's sometimes you got to make adjustments. You can't always do the same thing. It's spiritual insanity to do the same thing and expect a different result. You got to make some changes every now and then. You don't change your doctrine. You don't change what you believe in the oneness of God. You don't compromise holiness or lifestyle convictions. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about making adjustments because God's will has to be done. You can't live for God and do the things of God in a box. It's not the way God works. His ways are higher. His thoughts are past finding out.
So Sister Whittington come up to me, and Brother Sister Fuller, you know, she's not real tall. She's like a little dynamite, man. She's the sweetest she can be. She's a graceful, gorgeous, older woman, just sweet as she can be. She comes up to me. You know, I'm on the steps or the platform, and she comes up to me, and she's pretty short, but she's really short when you're standing up on the stairs. And I'm looking down at her, and she says, Brother Burns, she says, for years, I got one leg that's shorter than the other. She said, it's getting worse. And this is what she said. She said, and I'm getting shorter. She says, I'm getting shorter. And she says, will you pray for me? I said, hang on just a second. So I got the pastor's wife, Sister Ashley. I didn't feel comfortable with grabbing the bishop's wife and grabbing her legs and seeing which leg was shorter than the other. So I got the pastor's wife. We set her on the front row. All these people gathered around. I'm like, okay, here we go. Help us, Jesus, you know. And so Sister Ashley grabs her feet, and lo and behold, Sister Whittington's right leg is not like an inch. It's like 2 inches shorter than the other. I mean, she had black high-heel boots on. Yeah, she did. She's an older woman. She had those high-heel boots on. And her heel was about 2 inches. And that right leg was 2 inches shorter than the left leg. And so I said, Sister Ashley, I'm going to lay hands on her. We're going to pray for her. We're going to command the leg to grow, and we're just going to believe God to do it. Do you know that in 30 seconds, we looked down, and God had already grown her leg an inch? Then, 30 seconds later, now, if you don't believe me, Sister Whittington could come here and testify next time she's visiting the Fullers.
Because this is something close to y'all that you can grasp, where the unbelief has been so daunting over you, is you're going to say, you know what? If God did it for her, then surely God can do something for me. And 30 seconds later, her leg completely grew out. Sister Ashley's looking up at me. She said, Brother Burns, they're the same size now. The Holy Ghost hit Sister Whittington. She got up. She made her way through the crowd. And she forevermore had a Holy Ghost hoedown. And the power of God swept up in that house. What am I saying? I'm saying, Apostolic Worship Center, you got to open your eyes, because Ishmael will not rule here. He will not reign here. There's an Isaac in the womb. There's an Isaac in the womb. Somebody hear the word of the Lord. There's an Isaac in the womb. Would you stand to your feet and lift your hands? And would you let a shout of praise come from the depths of your soul right now? Would you let a shout of worship come from the depths of your soul right now? There's an Isaac coming. There's an Isaac in the womb. There's an Isaac in the womb. Yes. Yes. Come on, somebody. The Bible says praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Someone needs to mix your faith with the word that I preached right now. Somebody needs to say, today's my day. Today's my opportunity. Today I'm going to hold my baby. Today I'm going to experience the miraculous. Today I'm going to see your hand. I'm going to see your power. I'm going to see your glory manifested. I'm not going to let unbelief sit here. I'm not going to let unbelief hinder me. I'm not going to let it wreck me. I'm not going to let it disturb me. But I believe God. I believe God. I pray for you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for the top of your head and the sole of your feet. I curse every lie, everything is trying to hinder. Hallelujah. And so what we're going to do right now, we're not going to let anything intimidate us. There's some of you that are in the middle of worship service. You've been wanting to get out in the aisles and dance and shout and worship. Or something's been holding you back. It's the spirit of this city. It's not flesh and blood. It's not what you're worried about, what the pastor thinks about you. Those are lies. Worship unto the Lord, and praise is comely. It's a beautiful thing. You got to praise Him with your voice. You got to praise Him in the dance. You got to praise Him. He's worthy. So I take authority over that intimidating spirit. I curse it at its roots. I would to God, somebody get some faith in your heart, and you step out of your pew and you say, God, I'm going to praise you on this Sunday morning. I'm going to lift you up on this Sunday morning. We're going to have a breakthrough in the Holy Ghost. I'm waiting on somebody. It's been years. Why don't you step out? It's been a long time. I know, Sarah, it's been 25 years. But Isaac's on the way. Isaac's on the way. Come on, young people, help Brother Burns right now. Come on, young couples, help the preacher out right now. Come on, mamas and daddy, we believe in God for a miracle. That's it. You may not have a dance, but you got a voice. You may not have a dance, but you got a clap. You may not have a dance, but you got a praise. You got a hallelujah. You got a hallelujah.
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center, located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285 or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.